This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, part two of a series on the looming eviction crisis from the Mountain West News Bureau. Plus, Governor Polis isn't sure President Trump's plan for extension of unemployment benefits will work in Colorado, and arts organizations are adapting with virtual events and other forms of community engagement. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
Mesa County reported 12 new COVID cases on Sunday, and Public Health Director Jeff Kerr told the Grand Junction Sentinel that he wants to see people make smarter decisions when they have symptoms and stay home instead of going to work or out in public. If you have symptoms, such as fever, cough, or shortness of breath, get a COVID test and stay home for at least 10 to 20 days after your symptoms first appeared, depending on how severe they are. With the state moratorium on utility disconnections no longer in effect, the Colorado Public Utilities Commission, PUC, says consumers have other options for assistance in paying their energy bills. You may be able to avoid disconnection if you contact your utility. If consumers cannot reach an agreement with their utility, they can contact the PUC's Consumer Affairs Division for help. The application to join Colorado's two new independent commissions on redistricting opened August 10th. The commissions will redraw electoral districts for congressional and state legislative districts. Jessica Shipley is the staff coordinator for Colorado's Independent Redistricting Commission. She told KUNC's Colorado Edition that the application is open to most residents.
We really want to, based on what the Constitution is asking us, to form a commission that is demographically matches what the state shows at this point. So whether it's age or gender, race, occupations, educational level, all of those kinds of things.
The application deadline is November 10th. For KVNF News, this is Jody Peterson.
Across our region, theaters and live gigs are offering virtual events, highlighting past performances, and engaging with the community in lieu of in-person gatherings. The Mountain West News Bureau's Amanda Peacher reports.
When COVID-19 hit, the Creed Repertory Theater in Colorado got creative. The company started offering online readings, produced a weekly clown sitcom, and even adapted their improv show. It's normally called Boomtown, so they renamed it Zoomtown.
And that was a hoot.
John D'Antonio is with the theater.
Trying to figure out, okay, how in the world are we going to improvise, with performers in different states, with internet delays and whatnot.
Other groups are adapting. In Boise, the popular storytelling event Story Story Night went virtual, and in Boulder, the Dairy Arts Center launched an online event series called Free Range Dairy. Many are staying afloat for now, but it's unclear what will happen in the fall. If Congress passes another coronavirus aid package, it may include funding for small businesses and nonprofits arts organizations. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Amanda Peacher.
Governor Jared Polis says President Donald Trump's executive order extending federal unemployment benefits will not be sustainable in Colorado. Trump wants to offer unemployed workers an extra $400 each week during the pandemic, but he's asking states to pitch in a quarter of the money. Polis says Colorado's financial challenges will make it hard to do that.
There's no way that we would have more than 2 or 3 weeks tops of the ability to do that. So perhaps it buys a little bit more time for a federal deal, a bipartisan deal between our Republican and Democratic lawmakers to be reached.
The state's Labor Department also says it's waiting to hear more from the federal government before deciding how it will respond to the president's order. Nevada is the last state in our region to have a broad eviction moratorium in place after the federal ban expired last month. President Trump has directed federal agencies to explore how they can help avoid mass evictions around the country, but it's unclear how or if that will work. In the second part of our series on the developing eviction crisis, Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick checked in with a few Coloradans who are feeling the squeeze and has this report.
For the last 2 years, Greg Hallman has been living in a six-bedroom duplex in Lakewood, Colorado, with his wife, kids, and extended family.
My youngest is 17, and then I have an 18, and then I have a 20. And my oldest daughter, my son-in-law, they have a baby together, and then with my mother-in-law.
They were all happy living together, and then the pandemic struck, and life got complicated.
Where do I even begin to start?
Hallman's work hours were reduced, his wife was laid off, and then he got behind on bills.
And I had a good credit score. You know, I was getting ready to buy a house. I had a 670, I think, and they were going to work with me, and that's right when COVID hit. I couldn't pay my credit card, I couldn't pay this, I couldn't pay that, so my credit just shot way down.
Since then, he, his wife, and three of his daughters have been bouncing around from place to place, crashing on couches where they can, and separated from the rest of their extended family.
We've looked at trailers, we've looked at RVs, we've looked at trailer parks, we've looked at anywhere that I could fit my family, because we're tired of being split up.
He said they had tried to work out a plan with the landlord of their original duplex, but its management had been taken over by a separate company, which wanted them out. Since then, his college-aged daughters have stopped doing their classes online because they don't have computers or a place to work right now. And he says they all ended up losing about half of their stuff, including family heirlooms.
I'm not holding up worth a crap. I'm sorry. Excuse my language, but I'm not holding up very good, man. The only thing that I ever wanted to do was provide for my daughters. And it's just really, it feels really demeaning. You feel really low when something like this happens, especially when, you know, you were doing just fine.
Still, Hallman says his family isn't the only one hurting.
I see tents up all over the place, and I'm thinking, God, this is terrible. This is really, really terrible.
Desiree Kane has noticed that trend, too.
I moved out into Longmont, and the trailheads all along the front range, there's families living along the trailheads because that way they have access to water.
Kane says the pandemic is forcing people to rethink what housing means to them.
You know, you have this whole, it's kind of like an existential moment with yourself around the meaning of home. How do you find home when you are houseless?
Kane does mostly freelance work, which has been halted because of the pandemic, so she's had to rethink her own housing. She had to move into a more affordable apartment with a bunch of other people. But in a pandemic, more affordable can also mean more risk. Nicole Lamarty was in need of a room and found a potential roommate on Facebook. Then, right before moving in, that roommate tested positive for the novel coronavirus.
I told her, I said, listen, this puts a huge, you know, change into my plans. I need to figure something else out because there's no way I'm going to jeopardize my health, move in with you and get sick.
She hadn't put any money down on the place yet, but she had signed the lease. And she says the property managers wanted the rent. But she used that money for rent at her old place while she waited until it was safe to move into their building.
I don't have the money. I told them. I said, listen, you can't squeeze blood out of a rock.
Lamarty says she even found another girl to take over the lease she signed, but they still said no. And if she doesn't pay rent, she faces an eviction on her record.
There needs to be more leniency right now because things are happening right now that people cannot control. And we're getting hunted down because of that. If the leasing office was more lenient, we wouldn't be having this problem.
Ultimately, she says that leniency will help both tenants and landlords. And that landlord could be a person or a business. According to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, about 46% of all rental units are owned by individuals, not companies. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
Part 3 of this series will look at potential solutions to the eviction crisis. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.